who will be the other host for this podcast. She is the Fellowship Program Director here at Children's Mercy Hospital. Tell everybody hi, Dr. Sharma. She is joining us again today to talk about the management of apnea of prematurity and what So Dr. Sharma, as we know, there's a lot of variability that can be normal heart rate and oxygen levels. Is there standard threshold settings for that helps us kind of have an idea what settings and monitoring is needed for these infants.
The second scenario is when the infant requires intervention with bag mask ventilation or needing tactile stimulation. To realize is therapy often is needed for several weeks until the apnea, the respiratory control of the infant matures. Associated hypoxemia is nasal CPAP and now xanthine therapy. It's only when these three fails, then we intervene with intubation and mechanical ventilation. Increase the risk of apnea, and two, reduce the prevalence of associated hypoxia. And supplement. Stable environment, which eliminates temperature fluctuations in apneic episodes. Therefore, most of our preemies either need to be in an incubator for the extreme preemies or in server-controlled warmers. The second entity, neck and head position, is very important for maintenance of the upper airway. This pain supplementation to keep their sets around 90 to 95%. Now, the last thing that if you have a patient, even if they are a preterm, one, decreasing the incidence of mixed and obstructive apnea. It maintains the functional residual capacity and it alters the timing of breathing in preterm infants. It's thought that CPAP is effective through the pharyngeal, optimizes the functional residual capacity. So, as I mentioned earlier, the supportive measures are always residual capacity based on estimating lung volume on chest x-ray. But many of these infants have good lung compliance and pressures above 8 centimeters may over-distend the lungs and impeculatory function. Yes, Dr. Weiner, thanks for mentioning about CPAP. Yes, CPAP of above 8 will not do any to your CPAP of about 8 will not be beneficial. So moving... important to realize. The other method provided is non-invasive positive pressure ablation, which basically just augments your CPAP. And if all fails, then you may consider mechanical ventilation. Question, is the baby caffeinated? Isn't that what we... Yes, that's true too. So, well, as caffeine, I just want to talk about L-xanthines in general. So, methyl xanthines are the neurotransmitter of the respiratory drive. The main action, the main enhanced diaphragmatic enhanced diaphragmatic contraction. Five leading to increased minute ventilation. All this ultimately leads to resolution or prevention of apneic EP. More about it in just a little bit later. But when we give a loading dose of 10 milligrams per kg, intravenous drive it increases. Well, that's found that there was increased cerebral cortical activity, transcutaneous carbon dioxide, and increase in the mean arterial pressure. Which is this interesting after 2 hours of caffeine therapy. Caffeine also a perinatal white matter injury. And this that studied the short-term effects of methyl xanthine therapy. Dr. Weiner, again, we cannot put apnea of prematurity without looking at the CAP trial or the caffeine for apnea of prematurity trial. So CAP trial was a randomized 100 to 1250 grams, and there were no differences, discontinuation of supplemental oxygen, and a lower atrial tube use, in other words, earlier extubation. I want to talk a little. Yes, so there was actually a follow-up. The reduction of
So with the CAP trial and the...
So there was this, there is this large that was came out from the Canon Neonatal Network of infants less than 29 weeks gestation. And what they did was they compared with late as there was no difference in mortality. They also found that the early caffeine group had less PDA and were less likely to undergo surgical intervention for PDA. There was no difference in the necrotizing enterocolitis rates, severe neurological injury, or retinopathy of prematurity. They did a follow-up of this cohort at 18 to 24 months, studies that did show. Yes, my dog. I'm sorry. Yes.
Let's look. Hopefully, there's not a dog barking. Oh, They're like, it's cold. Someone come get us.
I think. So I just. I can start. Yeah, go ahead. Adverse effects of methyl xanthines, which in treatment is tachycardia. One with 4-week study period, infants that received caffeine required a lower incubator caloric patients. So Dr. Weiner, the CAP trial did do a better control group on tests for fine motor. And the CAP trial also suggests that caffeine therapy may have some impact on better neurodevelopmental outcome. Caffeine has therapeutic advantages over theophylline. Levels generally is not required for caffeine as a theophylline. This system in 2010, which I had here, reported similar rates of reduction of apnea and bradycardia during the first week between caffeine and theophylline. Adverse reactions were low in the group treated. Which is 10 milligrams per kg. You can give it either intravenously or enterally. The daily maintenance dose is 5 to 2, which metabolism with advancing maturation. So routine measurement of serum caffeine concentration is not necessary. Drug levels are usually only measured if there are concerns for toxicity because, as I mentioned earlier, very important question. So basically, the data is lacking in practice, usually based on the natural cause of infant dysphagia. Mask therapy may be restarted. Medics, but suggest that gastroesophageal reflux is not gastroesophageal reflux solely for the reduction in apnea events is not current available evidence. So that's important to remember.
Dr. Sharma, for that clarification. Now what?
Continuously monitors preterm infants for apnea, bradycardia, and desaturation, and they found that patients had decreased apnea for 3 days. The authors also noted that the probability of an apnea. Dr. Weiner, I think the question in this kind of scenario usually comes up is the question of home monitoring. So if caffeine has only discontinued, it cannot be discharged home unless there is an event-free period of about 7 days.
Are there?
Most centers will wait until the infants are free of apnea and off caffeine therapy before discharge. While some centers do discharge patients home with cardiorespiratory monitoring with or without caffeine. It's important to know that if an infant is to be monitored prior to discharge, and they should be able to demonstrate proficiency in managing the monitor, providing appropriate intervention. Yes, Dr. Weiner, we did cover a lot of aspects of the management of apnea of prematurity, and I'll try to summarize it. For medical treatment of apnea of prematurity, caffeine is the preferred agent because it's longer half-life, wider margin of safety, and lower in a 5-day free period. A little summary on discharge readiness. Discharge is about 5 to 7 days, but it varies by center. Most infants have 23 to 44 weeks. This should be undertaken prior to initiation of other treatment. So the choices are A, vigorous nasopharyngeal suctioning, B, consideration for sepsis as a cause of increased apneic spells, the infection is a 2-day-old, 25-week gestation infant is on mechanical ventilator settings, and a FiO2 of 21% is ready to be extubated caffeine citrate at 20 per kg per day shortly after birth, and was started on maintenance caffeine citrate at 8 per kg per day. D. It causes reversal of central hypoxic depression of breathing.
Yeah, when you were talking, that caffeine actually showed no difference between